Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Free Spirits Healing Circle, where we'll explore ways to let go of our fears to become free. This is our healing circle, and tonight we start off with a centering exercise. Let me just check in and see who this other caller is. Area code 213, what's your first name?
My name is Candy.
Hi, Candy. Welcome. Candy, we start off with a centering meditation, and then we explore a couple of topics. Everybody has a chance to contribute one person at a time, and so we will call on you. If the spirit moves you, feel free to contribute. And right now we're going to go to a centering exercise just to relax and get ready to talk. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, David, and thank you, everyone. If you would please take a moment and just close your eyes and allow your thinking of the day and after the show or tomorrow to just go outside your thinking mind for just a brief moment. Breathe in divine light and let this divine light clear, center, and balance your thinking mind in your heart with each breath. Breathe in divine light and love. And as you exhale, let all your thoughts get clear, divine, truth, and harmony. Allow your heart to be open with each breath. And allow your sharing to be from your heart and for all our highest good. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Jean, I am having a little bit of a lapse here. I know that we talked about controlling as one of the topics. Was the other one judgment?
Yes, controlling and judgment. And if it's possible, let's fold in responsibility, because it really matches both of them, don't you think?
Absolutely, I do. So would you like to start off the discussion tonight, darling?
Okay.
How's that? How's that for shirking responsibility?
Anyway, all right, well, let's start with judging, because, you know, judging and controlling can have some similarities. I actually just got off the phone with a person who spent some time with their family member who is very judgmental in the way they speak out in the world. So it's perfect timing. When we are out there and we're judging others, you know, like, oh, look what she's wearing. Oh, look how fat they got. Or if you're bad-mouthing, as an example, even what's going on in the world, you're really judging yourself. And a lot of people don't realize that. And judgments come from lack of self-love and self-worth and self-acceptance. And then when we are in that intense judgmental place, you know, then adds the controlling. You know, we think that by controlling, and I'm not saying everyone, but I'm just using the word controlling. A lot of people think that by controlling another human being or a situation is going to really give them what they want, and what they don't realize is that it puts up a block for them to really have what they want. And nobody likes to be controlled. You know, even myself, I don't like to be controlled. And I don't like other people trying to control me. And where I can fold in the responsibility is that when we take responsibility and we see, oh, I'm really a controlling person, or wow, I really am a judgmental person, then we can take the responsibility to stop. And how do we stop? Well, there's many ways to practice self-love and self-acceptance. So I would like to stop there because I know that you and David have a lot that you can add to this too, and then I will continue later.
Thank you, Jean. Okay, let's go to Kat next. And Kat, what do you have to share? And Candy, by the way, we share for 6 minutes maximum, and then if there's time, we come back through and add any other thoughts that may have occurred to us as we're going through it. And Sharon has also joined the circle, so there are five of us, and I'm going to turn it over to Kat.
Well, thanks, David. judgment isn't all bad. We need judgment in some respects so that we don't do stupid things or so that we don't fall into traps. You know, we can judge a situation to be difficult in the consequences, and that's important. We can judge a person to be unsafe and be right to do that. And that's important too, especially as parents. You know, we're antennas are right up because we've got to protect our young. So judgment isn't all bad. Where it becomes bad is when you put yourself higher, more serious somebody else for your own benefits, just as Jean was saying. That's when judgment's bad. But if you're walking down the street and you judge that person over there who's acting erratically is not safe for you to be near or your child to be near, as long as you leave them be and they leave you be, there is no harm in that because you are simply acting on your instinct to remove yourself from a possible dangerous situation. So we need to sort of differentiate because I think some people really beat themselves up for judgment. They can turn around and say, oh, I'm a terrible person, I judge that other person, and I'm a baddie because I was judging. And other people nitpick about judging. You judge because of this, you judge because of that. And then they're judging. So you can get into a big trap with judgment as well, where you can start to really beat yourself up, and you can allow other people to beat you up as well. So the best thing to realize is that we have this thing called judgment within us. Why? To serve us to get out of difficult situations or avoid difficult situations. It's part of our instinct. It's part of the normal aspect of being an animal on this planet. When you get a grip of the fact that, hey, you know, you are an animal on this planet, your body is built for this planet, breathes this planet's air, eats this planet's food, and deals with this planet's environment, then you need to recognize that judgment is part of the instinct package that you have as an animal on this planet, and use it wisely. It's just like anything else. Use it wisely, don't abuse it, and you'll be fine. The moment you start abusing it and misjudging, I mean, misjudgment can cause you to learn as well. So I once said that misjudgment is so bad as in the fact that you can have a massive wake-up call because you misjudge somebody and then you find out later that you were wrong and that woke you right up to a greater lesson in your life. So I think that as an instinct, it is also a great teacher. So that's what I think about judgment. What do you think about judgment, David?
Well, I think that judgment comes from the ego, no matter what form it takes. And I used to think that the ego was not a healthy place to be. However, I've come to learn and appreciate what you are sharing, and that is if it is used for self-protection, for survival, for protection of others, then that's a good thing. When it comes to judging somebody else to be inferior, judging somebody because of superficial things. We're all mirrors to one another. And I agree with Jean that the judgment does come back to you, and it comes from a lack of self-esteem or lack of self-love, as she was saying. And I think that it's really important for us, before we judge somebody else, to take a stock of ourselves, take a personal inventory, and stop trying to take somebody else's inventory, because you can't judge another person unless you do what Jesus said, and that is to walk a mile in their shoes. So that's what I had to say about judgment. I'm going to throw it back to you for control and responsibility, Kat.
Okay, thank you. Now, control, to some degree in society, we see control measures put into place for the good of all. That's why we have policing. And that's why parents have rules in the home. You know, but they're not, if they're good parents, then they're rules about safety, you know, and respect. And they're not rules to you as a human being. So these, you know, control does come along with rules, and I don't think you can take one without the other. I've been in controlling relationships in the past. I've been in, when I was younger and I wasn't sure of myself, I grew up in a household that wasn't very happy and I didn't have a lot of self-esteem. And so I became a victim of girls who were my friends who were controlling. And then I moved on to boyfriends who became controlling until I grew into myself and I started to understand my own personal power. But I had to go on that journey as an adult. I wasn't taught to be in my power as a kid. So control for me is quite a personal subject as well, in the experience of having other people put their intentions upon me. Probably the worst experience is when a partner does it to you. And, you know, I've been in an experience where I couldn't even look out the window of a car and see people walking by. If they were male, then I was in trouble for looking at other guys. And if other guys were looking at me while I was walking on the street minding my own business, I would get into trouble. And that's pretty extreme. And that boils down to poor self-esteem on the other person's behalf. So they don't have any strength of character that they can be with somebody and just be proud of being with that person. They have to try and manipulate that person and hold their light down so that they can feel like they're the one who has the power in the relationship. So control can come across to you in workplaces. It can come across to you between parent and child, siblings, friends. It's a universal lesson amongst humans, and it is a lesson of the ego. And as I've said in the past, the ego isn't the baddie. The ego is the infant child who's inside of us, who's actually there to teach us, and we need to listen to the infant child and learn from the infant child and calm the infant child down, feed it what it needs, make it comfortable and put it to bed. So the inner infant child wants toys, wants things, wants control because it doesn't feel in control because it's an infant. And when you boil down what's going on with a controlling person, they are acting out of that inner infancy and they've forgotten who they are. They've forgotten that they're an adult and they don't understand that they're acting like a bit of a ninong. And so from a perspective of compassion, you can see that's what they're doing. It doesn't mean you have to be around them. So I'd recommend anybody who is a victim of a controlling relationship to remove themselves from that person and to learn from it and to regain their personal power, because control from another that is not healthy control, like going across the street on a busy road, you know, a rule like that, that's a control. It's there so you don't get run over. Or, you know, there's controls on killing wildlife. You know, it's there for preservation of life. These things are fine. But when we go into controlling people, what they wear, how they act, who they talk to, this sort of stuff is really infantile, and it needs to be knocked on the head. So the best thing you can do if you find yourself around someone who's controlling is withdraw and go and seek counseling and learn to re-empower yourself. And that there is taking personal responsibility. And you can't have anyone else make you happy but yourself. So you need to turn around and take personal responsibility. And I know, we're at Easter, and a lot of Christians say Jesus died on the cross for our sins. I saw a sign the other day from a church saying he took all our responsibility from us, so we don't have to have any. And I really don't agree with that. Because if you're going around thinking that somebody croaked so that you didn't have to have responsibility, you are absolutely dazed and confused and you need to wake up. You are responsible for your life, your happiness, and what happens in your life is in regards to your choices. You can't turn around and stuff up and then say, oh, but Jesus died on the cross for my sin, I'm okay. That is absolute cop-out. So, I don't really care if I ruffled feathers there about that. It's personal responsibility is your place, and the person who's being controlling in your life is responsible for their actions and their control, no matter how much they try and tell you that it's your fault or your responsibility for their happiness. That's absolute nonsense. You are in control of your own life. You have your responsibility towards yourself. And other people are responsible for their happiness. You are not responsible for their happiness. You're responsible for the consequences of your choices.
And that's time.
And in the power of knowing that. Cool.
Thank you. I really enjoy what's been said so far. I'm going to talk about control from the standpoint of adult to adult. I think, Kat, you covered it brilliantly as far as those situations where you do need to be in control. And I do think that we need to take charge of our lives, that we are responsible for every aspect of our lives, that blaming it on somebody else is a cop-out. And yet I in my past have thought that I could control another person, and I found myself being controlling towards them as other people had been controlling towards me. I could play the perpetrator or the victim when it came to that particular issue. And what I've learned is that I am the only one that can manage my life. Nobody else has the right to manage my life. I do not need to take that on. And likewise, my thought that I can control somebody else is an illusion. It only creates animosity from another, and that's not conducive to a healthy relationship at any level. As far as responsibility goes, I alluded a little bit to that subject, but I think it's very important that we are responsible for ourselves and towards our fellow human beings, but it starts at the self level. It's like that analogy when you're on an airplane and suddenly there's a decompression and there's no oxygen. You need to put on your own oxygen mask first before you help somebody else. And whenever I'm in a situation where I'm not taking care of myself, I have no business trying to take care of somebody else. I need to take responsibility for myself first. And then if my battery is charged, then I can take responsibility towards being of service to others. And we have had Beth join us. Candy has dropped away. We have Sharon. And today, just to let Beth know, I think Sharon probably has grasped what the topics are. But they are judgment, controlling, and responsibility. So let me go to Sharon first, then to Beth, and then we'll come back through the circle. And Sharon, you're live.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Well, hello. Happy Easter, or happy Sunday. I don't know who's doing what with today, but I'll just say happy Sunday to everyone. You know, I'm going to earmark before I speak that when I like to talk in I statements, and so, and I also am very proud of my self-work that I've done over the years. I know we're all individuals, and so I'm not, this is just about me. And so if I bring up something from like my childhood or whatever, it's not because I haven't healed from that. It's a matter of a point of pride for me that I have recognized an event that may have taken place decades ago, and how that over the years has become a turning point for me. I've used it as a turning point in peeling away the layers of the onion and understanding for myself my internal work and my commitment to myself. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and launch into how I identify with judgment. And I, because I have a little grandson that I'm very close to, and he's going to be four soon, it really has impressed me every day that I'm with him how, maybe it's because as a single mom, I was just, you know, working, going to school and trying to put food on the table and making, taking care of the kids and making those commitments that I didn't have. And I did go to therapy. I took this to family therapy, but there wasn't a lot of time to go over and do a lot of internal thinking. It was, you know, it was always programs, you know, okay, this much time to do this, this much time to do that. So with the, as a grandparent, I see my responsibility in judgment and controlling, and also responsibility in different ways. And for me, more meaningful, because I understand that my little four-year-old, soon-to-be four-year-old grandson, looks at me with the eyes of, and all those around him, as children do, that we know things, that everything we know, we are the authority. And that is something that I carry that understanding in wanting to be more improved for myself. As you mentioned, David, you know, when I take care of myself, I'm then the others, it all falls into place for whomever else around me. So when I'm judging, I'm far from that place that I want to be at in any of those aspects. I still make judgments. I was in the store with my grandson. This was a marathon weekend of cleaning, cooking, doing for others. I mean, now it's me time. And I ran into the store with my grandson in tow and had promised him some toys. So it was, you know, talking about this toy and that toy off the shelf. And someone said, with a very deep cigarette voice and tattoos all over them, "You must be a grandma." And they were chuckling in that cigarette voice. And I happened to look up at them and looked away, and I didn't respond. And then continued on with my grandson. When we were standing in line, I was standing behind the lady, and I said to her, because I started to remember, "You used to own such and such restaurant. We had many family happy times." And we started talking about that. But as we're talking about judgment, my judgment kicked in at that point. What my judgment, it was like throwing a rock in a quiet pool. It triggered me into, she represented that place in my heart that I held, holds a lot of fear in the mother that's raising my grandson. She's, when I go to her house, I'm horrified by what I see, and I pray that he's safe. And so my judgment kicked in, and I was projecting it on that woman who I happened to like. I just hadn't seen her in a long time. So this conversation is holding me closer to being more aware of what I want to work on. And then I got into the car, and I was telling my friend about my interaction with the cashier. I said, they took my money that I had in my bra, and I gave it to them. It was a man. And he held up antiseptic spray after he finished my transaction. Our transaction, he sprayed his hands. And I said to him, well, the next time I come into the store, I want to carry antiseptic spray so I can, when I deal with you, I can spray my hands. And I left the store and I told my friend in the car. And now I'm thinking, and my friend said, oh, he must have been having a bad day. But see, being in this healing circle right now is bringing it closer to me on, yes, he was having a bad day. Okay, let it go. I don't have to respond. I can just understand. Having a bad day, let it go. Especially with the grandson being with me, that's not what I want to project. And the other thing about, that's just an example of scenarios. The other one was, let's see, controlling judgment, responsibility. My responsibility is to myself first. And being, I feel when I'm transparent in safe areas, safe arenas, then I hear myself. And I acknowledge as I'm speaking what I want to really understand about myself and bring more, that will allow me to do that internal work and recognize it. And what I'm looking for is bringing more joy into my heart and peace. And thank you for the time to share.
Thank you. That was just perfect. 6 minutes, Sharon. Thank you for your input. And Beth is next. And just to let people know, Mary has joined us. So she will be next after Beth. And then we'll go around again. Hi, Beth.
Hi, David. I don't really have a lot to offer today. I think I just like to listen if possible.
That's absolutely fine. No problem, hon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Happy Easter to you.
Thanks. Happy Easter to everybody.
Thank you. Okay, I'm coming to Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Thanks
well,
for joining us.
The reason I was late in getting on was because I had someone on the phone who really, really needed help. And it actually has a lot to do with the judgment and responsibility and all kinds of things. She had a mother who never should have had children, who blamed her for just by being born, she had ruined her life, and her entire life was absolutely horrible to her, and she has a sense of responsibility. She now has been diagnosed with early Alzheimer's, and she's trying to convince herself that she's doing the right thing. And I was counseling her to do the right thing for her, because if she doesn't take care of herself, she cannot take care of anyone. And here she is and in her late 50s now, suddenly having to take care of the person who's tortured her all her life, which is an interesting place to be. And she is overly responsible, and so I had to literally counsel her to, if necessary, harden her heart, because she cannot allow this woman to drive her to the point where she can't even help her. So this, it's odd that your topics are just connecting so tremendously with the work I was doing, which prevented me from coming on earlier. So these things, there is a synchronicity in life, and very often when we are working and we are consciously connecting with spirit and asking, put the right words in my mouth, tell me what to say to this person, give me the strength to be able to be firm when it's necessary. And it sometimes winds up that energy happens to be going on other places in your energy circle. So what I want to say about judgment is that so often we talk ourselves out of what we know. Spirit talks to us. We know that this is the best thing, and yet we talk ourselves out of the way that Spirit is trying to help us. And very often, in order to be good to somebody and really take care of them, we have to say no to them. We have to tell them things they don't want to hear, because we know that is the right thing. So our judgment is, it's very important that we trust Spirit, that we trust the information that we're receiving, and sometimes we don't even realize that it's coming straight from Spirit. But usually when it's coming from Spirit, it happens almost instantly. And when you say, yes, that's what I should do, that's Spirit talking with you and helping you with your decisions. But then once we try to rationalize and talk ourselves into and out of it, then we often make mistakes. So it is so important that we learn to trust our judgment and the information that is being given to us from the grace of God and from our spirit guidance, and just stop talking ourselves out of we are given. So I think that's about all I can say at this moment, because I'm almost talked out. You can hear my voice already. I've been talking nonstop for over an hour. So that's the best I can do at this moment.
Perfect, Mary. Thank you so much for your input. Let's go back around the circle again, and let's keep our shares to 3 minutes now. And I will let you know, I will gently let you know when your 3 minutes are up, and then if you can just wrap things up within a few sentences, that would be wonderful. And so we're going to go back to Jean, who was the first to share. And Jean, you are live.
Thank you, David. I just wanted to say, hi, Mary. Happy Easter. what I would like to add is I had a situation, not a situation, erase. I had a phone conversation with someone who had lunch with their mother, who's always judging and judging others. And she said, Jean, you know, how do I deal with this? You know, she's always she sucks the life right out of me.
And, you know, she doesn't care who she says it to, the wait staff, a stranger, you know, she'll just be really rude and in a judgment way, like saying something judgmental. So I suggested to her, and she was with a mutual friend who's also holistic. So I said, maybe the next time you're with your holistic friend and you're with your mother, maybe the two of you can blast her with love the entire time you're with her. And either she will soften and become quiet, or she will finish lunch and be ready to go home, you know. And that's a way that my friend can keep her responsibility in being truthful and loyal to herself by not letting her energy get drained, by not allowing her mother's judgments to take her out of her happy space. And, you know, people that are like in their, you know, 80s, 90s and up, and I'm not saying everyone, but there's a lot of them that are stuck in their ways in the 3D way. And a lot of them have grown up in the depression or the tail end of the depression. So they have a lot of bitterness from their lives, where I find that that age bracket seems to be less willing to soften and change. But that's all I wanted to add about that. And taking response, even Jesus said, you know, you have to fill yourself up before you can go out and take care of others. And I'm using Jesus today because it's Easter today. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Jean. Kat, is there anything else you'd like to share? I imagine you're muted. Hopefully you're still with us. I'm going to go to Facebook just in case to see if there's been a problem, in which event I can call you back. Let's see here, folks. Bear with me, please. Okay, Kat said that she had to... No message from her. Okay, I will come back, Kat, just in case there's a problem. Let's go forward to Sharon, and I guess I'll have to add myself into the mix too, which is a good thing. But let me go to Sharon first.
Hi.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I will say, at this age in my life, I'm not very likely to be around controllers, controlling people, because I just pick and choose who to be around, and I limit my time with them if I am. And I find that there's one family member that was here for 2 days, and they that's the dance they do. They go right into the controlling mode. And so we both talk our feelings. You know, we'll mention what headspace we're in, what feelings we're having, and then we move on. But as time has gone on, I've understood that it's important for me to limit my time and also choose the circumstances that I'll be in with that individual interacting, and who else ideally will be around to kind of buffer that energy. In the way of there's just more of a chemistry, an easygoing, smooth chemistry. So I've learned to kind of navigate through that. And again, if I recognize that it's a controller, then I just definitely choose how, when, and why. Choose the events, you know, do I really have to go there? How can I... you know, if I need to go, if I'm obligated, which I don't find that happens all that much, you know, just cut it short and definitely move on, remain pleasant and move on. but I just don't find that it's something that comes up a lot in my life at all, except for that one very important family member. And so that's, yeah, and that's definitely my, you know, I recognize that if it's happening, that kind of energy, and just quietly move on. And that's all I want to say about that.
Thank you, Sharon. Kat said that she could still hear, so let's see if she can speak through the phone. Kat, are you able to share? That is very strange. She indicated that she could hear, but for whatever reason, we're not able to hear from her. Well, I guess that I will go ahead and share. I think that one thing that I've come to understand from tonight's sharing is that there are two ways of looking at the topic of judgment. There is judgment, and then there is being judgmental. And so it's been very interesting to hear both sides of the coin, because judgment can be a very good thing, of course, as has been said, but being judgmental is not a good thing as far as I'm concerned. So that's the only reflection I had on that. And Kat indicates that she can hear and that it's frustrating she can't get through. Sorry, Kat. We'll try it one more time. But I'm glad that you're able to be with us in spirit and be able to hear what's being said. I don't really have anything else to add to responsibility other than to say that ultimately we're all responsible not only for our actions, but for the lives that we create for ourselves, which, of course, come from our actions, come from our behavior, come from being guided by spirit, hopefully listening to spirit and then following what spirit has to say, as Mary said. And I don't have anything else to add on control. Kat, are you able to... Let's see if you can say anything, if it can come through. I'm not sure what I can do. Let me go to Mary. And what I'm going to do, Kat, is ask you to hang up. And I'm going to try calling you up again while Mary is talking. Mary, are you able to talk for a couple of minutes while I attempt to reach Kat again?
I'm always able to talk. That's one thing.
Okay. Thank you, darling.
Okay.
Feel
I
free
just
to keep
tune in.
Talking.
I just tune
okay.
in and say, put the words in my mouth.
There you go. Okay. I'll let you go for now, and thank you for carrying the ball and adding whatever else you have on the topics.
Okay. Well, the... You know, oftentimes the folk sayings, the things that our grandmothers said to us, become so meaningful, and we look and say, "Oh my goodness, why did it take me so long to realize how smart my grandmother was?" But my grandmother had a lot of sayings. She grew up in the pioneer family. She was born in Kentucky, and she would say, for example, "You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear." And my goodness, I used to think that was a strange thing to say. But what she was literally saying. In that pithy saying of hers, is that you cannot make someone be what they are not. You cannot expect someone who's been one way all their life to suddenly, because their circumstances have changed,
to turn into somebody else. It just simply does not work because they are who they are and they will be unless maybe they get hit by lightning on the road to Damascus or whatever, but as Saul was in the Bible. Very rarely do we have that dramatic kind of event that changes us in an instant. And so we expect people to understand and to respond in a different way than they've always responded, and it doesn't work. And so we frustrate ourselves into hoping that they're going to be different this time. It happens a lot in marriages or in romantic situations where you would give anything if the person would just be more understanding and more compassionate, more loving, and they are going to be exactly who they always were, and that is a shame. But we have to face life and be honest with ourselves, and that I think is the important thing: is to look at reality and be fair to the other person as well as fair to ourselves, because you cannot expect somebody to suddenly become somebody else. And the judgment that we require of ourselves is to accept reality, accept who we're dealing with, and let it go, because we're only going to make two people miserable when we're trying to get somebody to do something that is not normal or rational or that is against their nature. So when we do that, when we accept who they are and how it's probably going to turn out, it makes it easier for both of us. So the judgment there is, let it go. Just let it be, and let it work its way out. And it takes a long time to get to that point where you can say that with somebody, especially a member of your family, that you would love to have a different relationship with, and that you would like for things to be different. But when
Mary,
we
just
can
to
love
let you
them
know,
for who
we're
they
back.
Are. Okay, great. Good.
Yep.
Have we got Kat here now?
I believe we do, and I didn't want to interrupt you if you had something else to add. I just wanted to let you know we were back here.
No, that's it.
Okay,
that is
perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Kat, go ahead.
Oh, thanks. Hi, I'm glad to be back. I don't know what happened there. So love is the answer. It's, and you're going to hear it in the healing circle all the time, because anyone who's on the panel works with teaching love and to be taught love. You know, last week we were talking about compassion. You have to be taught compassion, because we have to learn to sit back and see the bigger picture and then get that understanding through love. And it's the same with this situation. Judgment in a negative form is moving away from love. It's moving away from joy. It's moving away from peace. It's moving away from any kind of wonder or excitement that you may have, and it's putting you into a place where you're physically feeling a little bit older. You're feeling, you know, when you get judgmental, your face screws up a little bit, your muscles tense, you are a little bit of anger rises in you. And I don't mean getting makes you older is in a negative way. You know, I'm getting older. Everybody's getting older. The cat that's laying next to me is getting older. What I mean is that it makes you less vital by being in judgment. But if you can step back and look at somebody, listen to your instinct, go, oh, my instinct, not that one, this one. Okay, good-o, and just leave them be. Then you're not in that place of judgment. You're in the flow. And when you're in the flow with the universe, you're in that place where you're working with love, not against it. And remember that love is the food for life. So when we do things that are negative, we are withdrawing food for our own vitality. I've got a family member I talk to sometimes and they're in judgment. And at the end of the conversation, I say to myself, wow, I need a break from that person because I can't deal with that much judgment all the time. But I also recognize that that's their stuff, not mine. So in that respect, I can then put myself in a position of loving them, but I need to do it from a little bit of a distance. And I would also say that when it comes to people who make decisions around control, if you are the person that they are trying to control, there is no point in my experience in fighting that. You may as well go out in the middle of a hurricane or a cyclone and try and fight that. It's a force of nature. That person is going to do what they're going to do. All you can do is in yourself recognize what's going on. That's the first thing. Recognize. Take personal responsibility for what you've got to do to make things right for you and withdraw. Psychologists tell us that the best way to get away from toxic people is to withdraw from them. If we challenge them, they can become two or three times more likely to be violent. So it is better off to withdraw your energy from somebody who is controlling. And when we are taking personal responsibility, we're blessing our life. We're not cursing our life. When we are in anger, judgment, fear, control, we're cursing our life and we're cursing others' lives. So the best thing that you can do is to bless your life and bless the lives of others by taking personal responsibility and owning up to your mistakes, taking the consequences for them, but also sending out blessings to everyone. And all that is you say within yourself, I bless them, I bless them, I bless them, I bless them. And then you listen, what can I do now? Sometimes when we're in a relationship, the other person's decision has an impact on you that you cannot control. You find yourself living in circumstances that are out of your control. So you can only respond to that by blessing it. That is the way out of it. You can react and create worse situations, or you can bless it by responding to it, by blessing it, and then finding the path out of that situation. And sometimes that path is a little bit difficult to see, but by sitting there in that place of blessing your life and the circumstances you're in, you will find the way out. So that's basically what I have to say about that.
Thank you very much, Kat. We do have one other caller on the line. I'm just going to see if there's anything that they would like to say. Just to let you know, we are on every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and we discuss a couple of topics. Tonight we've been discussing the topics of responsibility, judgment, and control. And if there's anything you'd like to add, we'd love to hear it. Area code 951. What is your first name, please?
Hi, it's Nathaniel.
Nathaniel, hi there. How are you?
Hey, happy Easter, David.
Happy Easter to you. Anything you want to add on the topics?
Well, it's just, I was just kind of listening. I always, want to get call and get spirit messages, but I know that there's, lots of things to discuss on the matter. I just kind of tuned in, so I guess you're discussing the healing circle is this big. You know, I think we all need healing, you know. And, you know, I know the angels try to help us out, healing in our sleep. And I think sleep is a big, important thing, you know, where God can talk to us. And we really have to sleep in the right hours, you know, from 10 to 6 possibly. They go through the Chinese meridians that are actually go to the Chinese astrology or hand in hand. The Chinese medicine and Chinese astrology are hand in hand.
Well, thank you, Nathaniel. Anything else you want to say?
It's good to get the right sleep, and you know, we all get out of balance and kind of need alignment in everything, you know. And it's great to be all aligned and ready to go.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I said it's great to be in alignment and balance and, you know, and everything. So that's
I couldn't agree more.
Parting shot and everything. You know, you get out of balance and everything, and things get worse and worse. And, you know, I see some of the homeless people, and they have a lot of UFO parasites. And, you know, they're all out of balance, and, you know, it's sorry that they're, you know, that people, you know, get like that. But then it's just not homeless people, it's a lot of people, you know. but thank you so much. Happy Easter, then, to both of you.
Happy Easter to you, and we're getting ready to close now. And I would just ask everybody to close their eyes and open your imagination and see yourself in a meadow with the sun shining down upon your face, and you're walking towards the woods. A nice little trail that winds through the woods. There's a gentle stream that you cross. You can hear the gurgling of the stream. You can hear the birds singing in the trees, and you're feeling joyful and adventurous. And so you begin to climb, and you recognize that you are climbing a hill, or perhaps it could even be a mountain, because you didn't know where you were going when you began your journey. And you climb upwards, and there's some rocks that you have to step up as if you're climbing stairs. And you gently ascend. You feel the muscles in your legs wonderfully serving you as you walk upwards, 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 heading for a destination that you're unaware of at this point in time, but just enjoying the gentle breeze that's rustling through the leaves as you continue to climb along the trail. And it begins to wind around, around, and you continue to go up. And you've been journeying for you don't know how long, because you've just been so present to each moment as it's passed by. But eventually you come out of the trees and you're heading up onto a rocky surface. And you see the sky above you and feel the sun shining down upon you again. And you walk to a ledge, and there you can look out over the valley below you. And you feel as free as a bird, free of all worry, free of all fear, just one with the universe. And so it is. Please join us again next Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and thank you all for joining me tonight. God bless.